Hello, I wanted to do a statement or a quick update on the situation that's developing between Kerry Cassidy and Kevin Moore regarding Mark Richards. I see my name has been brought into it. I noticed this a few weeks back, and I'd actually emailed Kevin Moore and said to Kevin, oh, I noticed that my name's coming into this, and I'd be quite happy to, have an interview with you and talk about Mark Richards and the situation. And he did actually reply and said he was over in the States and he was doing some work, and he would like to interview me, thinking of, emailing me to do an interview anyway, but it wouldn't be until November. And I was quite happy to wait on that. But over the last sort of 4 or 5 days, there have been so many, toings and froings from Kevin Moore on his side of it and Kerry on her side of it. I'm not going to wait any longer. So I'm just going to do this sort of quick 10-minute update to explain my position regarding Mark Richards so that people can hear where I'm coming from. And I think that's important for me to do that. I go back about 4 or 5 years. I've never met Mark Richards, but I met his wife, and it was at a conference that she was speaking at, and I was a speaker as well, and I was coming in out of the auditorium, out of the room, because I was being called away all the time, and I heard her talking about this guy, Mark Richards, and I thought, well, that's odd because she's talking about somebody who's not here, and then I learned that he'd authorized that. What she was saying, that was fine. So I'd certainly heard talk about the United States Navy and the off-planet entities that the United States Navy were working with, and that certainly struck a chord with me. I'd certainly heard that already. I don't remember much else because I was coming in and out of that, but I do remember that the audience generally were disappointed with the talk, simply because the evidence or the news she was giving was old. It was for the 1960s and the 1970s, and whilst audiences are very interested in historical material, they do like to get up-to-date stuff whenever possible. So I think there was just a feeling I felt in the audience of, well, that's a shame because we didn't hear what was happening now. But I was really interested because that stuff from the 60s and 70s was definitely matching what I was heard, I'd heard. And then a little while later, I spoke to Winston Keach. Now, those of you who follow my updates and news know obviously who Winston Keach is, but those of you who don't, Winston Keach is a genius engineer, no question of that, an absolutely brilliant engineer. And anybody who says otherwise just doesn't know the man. And he created the chip and pin reading device. So every time, you put your debit card or your credit card into a reader in a shop, it encrypts that with a code, sends that to a central location, and that goes to the bank. It's decoded, of course, and your funds are drawn out to pay for whatever it is in the shop. Well, he created the codes on that. And after he'd created it, and if anyone's in any doubt that he created it, if you go on YouTube, there's a very young Win Keach being interviewed by BBC television in England, and he demonstrates it being used. So there's absolute proof for anyone who doesn't think he did create it, because he did. So basically, I'd mentioned to him that I'd been at this talk. And Mark Richards being overheard. And the reason I mentioned it to him was because when he created Chip and Pin, he was living in a town called Harrogate at the time, which is in North Yorkshire. And the National Security Agency just turned up on his doorstep unannounced, introduced themselves. And they said that there wasn't a code on the planet they couldn't break, there wasn't any sort of communications they couldn't hack into. But they couldn't break his code. And as a result of that, they were going to fly him, all expenses paid, to Fort Meade, I think it's Maryland, to NSA headquarters, and they'd do a deal with him. You know, if he gave them the codes, they'd give him something else. And I did actually ask him, what did they give you? And he was pretty cagey on that, and I didn't push it. But he obviously got something out of it because he gave them the codes. But anyway, as part of his time, he was there for a few good few days. He wasn't just flown out there and back again. He was this several days. And the sort of man he was, he actually had us having a meal with Congolese rice. And those of you who are too young to remember, I think Congolese rice was the first national security minister or secretary, whatever, under younger George Bush presidency. So he was actually sitting next to her at the dinner table, and that's the level that he was operating at. And I mentioned about Mark Richards, and he said, oh yeah, he said, I've heard about him and I think that he's genuine. A couple of days later, he turned up on the doorstep and gave me a document, and he said, you can't keep it. I want it back. You can keep it for 3 days or so. And it seemed to be one intelligence agency doing a critique on another. And it was really looking at the United States Navy, and certainly mentioned Mark Richards. So here again for me was confirmation that at a high level, this man's name was coming up. Okay. And that's as far as it went. I hadn't formed an opinion whether he was guilty of murder or not. It really wasn't my interest. My interest in the information I'd heard relating to the US Navy in the 1960s and 70s seemed to be very accurate to what I'd heard. Well, let's fast forward. Let's fast forward to early part of this year. I'd been quite accepting of the fact that there were 20,000 sealed indictments sitting in the White House. And then earlier this year was being told, and others were being told, that there was probably upwards of 40,000. And I was very skeptical. I really thought that just cannot be. You'd need an army of people to literally put together 40,000 indictments. It seems impossible. But I knew a man who would know. I've not mentioned him before, but I've met him once before. I'm obviously not going to give any names, but I can say that he worked at the United States Embassy in London. So I went to visit, and I met him at Battersea Railway Station. And that's another thing I would say. I sometimes read and hear about people who have these regular meetings with not whistleblowers, but people who are in the know, and they always sit at the same table in the same diner or the same cafe or restaurant. And that's just, you just don't do that. Well, some people do. That's just sloppy. And you should never meet or be collected from the same location twice. You should never do that. It should always be different. Always different. So this time it was the Battersea Railway Station, and he met me, and he knew his way quite well. I don't know that part of London at all. We sat and had a coffee. Well, he had a coffee and I had a hot chocolate. Coffees, those places are too strong for me. And he seemed convinced that there was 40,000 indictments. Absolutely. He was very, very clear. But of an aside here, an aside to the story we're talking about, he was not sure that the 40,000 would be opened. His opinion was that the indictments were an insurance stake. In other words, if you don't try and push the nuclear button in terms of the satanic forces trying to get rid of Trump, then I won't open the indictments. So the concern always has been for me that this wodge of indictments was literally a nest egg. It was an insurance device to prevent the other side going ballistic. So the threat that they could be opened was like a doomsday device, really. That's why I've been saying on my radio shows that October, November, December is really important. If you're going to get these indictments, they need to be opened now. Anyway, that's an aside. So the guy basically was confirming that there were 40,000. As far as he was concerned, there were. Then towards the end of our drink, he said to me, you know Kerry Cassidy, don't you? And I said, well, you know I do. And he said, well, yeah, he said that the name Mark Richards has come up. And what he told me was that President Trump had taken an advisor he didn't call him President Trump, he just called him Trump. But there are many, many advisors, presidents, prime ministers, to have a score of advisors. But he said there was one advisor who was pushing to get Mark Richards released. And I wasn't that interested at that point because I was asking about the indictments. That was my great interest. And I said, well, you know, what's that all about then? And he said, well, according to the information he'd heard, one of the indictments contained a name of somebody who had been involved in the case of Mark Richards, and that if this indictment was opened, then it would bring this other name out, and anything that this guy had been involved with would then be suspect. And that could lead to the president giving a pardon to Richards. So I said, well, what's the likelihood of that then? And he said, well, he said, if the advisor still is with Trump in a year's time, there's a 75% chance that he's going to be released. But if he's not with Trump, then that won't happen. So he said there were moves afoot either to pardon Richards through a presidential pardon, or to use the exact words I can't remember, but to use the mechanism within the prison service to get him a release. And this was slated for early 2019. So I heard this 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago. So he was saying that either there would be a presidential pardon if this advisor got his way with President Trump, and also if he got his way with Trump. If they didn't do that, they would go down this mechanism route, and I don't understand that, but basically they would attempt to get him released from prison without a pardon, just some form of device they use in prison, and I don't know. But he said it was slated for early 2019. And then he said to me, he said, the family won't like it, and I'm presuming this is the family of the murdered man. And he said that the cops on the ground won't like it. And then he shrugged his shoulders like this and said, but when has that ever bothered us before? So what I clearly took from that was that at some high level, this name is being talked about, and if they did make a decision, they don't really give a damn what the effect is, because they make a decision on high. So that's the information that I had, and that's where I'm coming from. Now, whether he is a murderer or not, I genuinely don't know. I mean, if he is a murderer, it doesn't mean that the information he has is inaccurate. And the question, you know, that Kevin is putting out there is whether Kerry is, you know, Kerry's been taken in by a guy who's spinning lots of stories, and whether there's some great psyops operation, or whether she's just, you know, infatuated. And that's what is the other possibility he's putting forward, I think. And Kerry's sort of saying, you know, look, I'm a very seasoned investigator, you know, worked on Project Camelot and Avalon, and you know Bill Ryan from Avalon. You know, I'm not going to make those sort of mistakes. And, you know, I would say the authorities must know that Kerry's going into that prison. She's gone in, I don't know, is it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times? I haven't seen any of those update things, I don't know, but they'll know what's going on. So either they're deliberately allowing this information to come out via Richards to Kerry for whatever reason, or they're just totally unaware that she's just making visits and they're not even monitoring it. But you know, that's my standpoint, and that's really the information that I have. I've never met him, I've never met any of the family, and it's not that I don't care or I'm not interested. That's not the point. The point is that my interest was on the intel, on the information. And the first information I heard was the 60s and 70s regarding the United States Navy. And that absolutely shone a light with me. I haven't heard any of his other regular stuff. The only bit I've heard, which again I agree with, through Kerry, of course, I'd heard that he talked about that the fires in California were not what they were being sold as. And I certainly am aware that some of those fires, not all of them, but some of those fires have been caused by what I call exotic weaponry. So, you know, that matches. But I haven't looked into anything else, and I haven't looked into, you know, who shot who or killed who or did any of that. What I do know is that that name, Mark Richards, is being talked about at a very high level, and there must be a reason for that. And I don't know. So I just wanted to put that out, because I was going to talk to Kevin. Kevin was, you know, good enough to reply back to me and say, yes, sure, you know, I was going to interview you anyway. But because it's you know, it's gone on now, and I think, well, I do want to put this out. And it is such a shame when this sort of thing happens, because Kerry is a damn good investigator. She really is. And I do consider her a friend. You know, she's got some fantastic work under her belt. And, you know, Kevin in his own way has done some really good stuff. And, you know, and it's, for me, it's a shame, but these two are arguing something that I've been drawn into, because both guys have mentioned my name. And that's what they wanted to do, to say, this is where I'm coming from. This is the information that I know. And I genuinely don't know any more than that. So that's it. Thank you very much for listening. And it's just a short update. And I hope that you've enjoyed the regular show, which was recorded yesterday. And thank you for your questions. Some of those questions I thought were fantastic. They're getting better and better. Okay, thanks ever so much. Take care. Goodbye.